NFL draft tomorrow, baby. And our coverage will be right here on 93.7 The Fan all day long, really. But then we're going to get into it hot and heavy at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. And we got Doug Whaley. We got Donnie Football, you and me, Zeiss. And we got Jim Haslett, who's also going to be on with us in our annual draft coverage show tomorrow at 6, brought to you by Spitzer Acura and New Flow Men's Health. Right now we're joined by Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Doug, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Ray.
Dang it.
You mean Ray.
Oh, my God. Ray, I don't know if you've been listening to the show this morning, but it's been one of those days for me, man. Actually, it's just been – I've made a career of getting people's names wrong, frankly.
Hey, it's almost here. If you can get through tomorrow, Adam, it's all downhill.
That's right, buddy. Just like Tyler Kennedy. All right, Peter. Let me – have you put out a mock draft yet, your final mock draft? If so, who you got the Steelers taking?
Yeah, it came out yesterday, Adam, and I had them taking Washington tackle Troy Fa'utanu. I just think, and here's my reasoning, you know, could be Fuaga, and they might have to trade up to get one of these guys. But the more I think about it, with Amarius Mims being 21 years old, only having 8 college starts on his resume, they need somebody who's going to come in and plug one of those holes on the offensive line right away. So, yeah, it could be Graham Barton at center, but it also could be Fa'utanu plugging that hole at right tackle, which, of course, would allow them to move Broderick Jones over to the left side.
Ray, I know you've heard this speculation, but the Steelers trading up to the 12th pick of the draft with the Denver Broncos to select Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. Can you see that happening?
Listen, they do need a cornerback, Doran, but the Steelers did not go to his pro day. Well, I shouldn't say the Steelers did not. Danny Colbert went to their pro day. He's one of their top scouts, but Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin did not. Quinyon Mitchell also was not in for a top 30 visit, so that's why it would surprise me a little bit if he was the pick. But I'll tell you, I was at the Senior Bowl. Tomlin spent some time with him down there. I know they met at night, and Tomlin also took a special attention to him during the practices that week too. So I would be surprised, just because Tomlin pro day and he wasn't in here for a visit, but we all know there's a need for a corner, and they need to get that future partner for Joey Porter at one point or another, and it certainly could be at number 20 or a trade up if that's the scenario.
Ray, there was a piece on PFF that wrote 6 guys that could be on the move during the NFL draft, and one of the players listed was Pat Freiermuth for a day 3 pick. Do you think that could happen? And if not, are there any players on the roster that you think could be in play for the Steelers tomorrow?
I mean, why would you trade Pat Freiermuth for like a 4th round pick?
Agreed. I mean,
even if you don't plan on re-signing him, guys, I think that's the plan. I know the production was down last year because of the injury, but even if you don't want to re-sign him, why wouldn't you just get as much as you can out of him on that rookie contract? And then, hey, you know, if he moves on, he moves on. But he's by far their best pass-catching tight end. Connor Hayward is an H-back, and we all, you know, saw what Darnell Washington was last year. He's pretty much an extra tackle for you. So unless they planned on getting Brock Bowers in the first round, I don't see that happening.
Brandon Ayuk is still, you know, rumors swirling around him. At first, John Lynch said he wanted him to be a 49er for life, and then yesterday it came out that they're starting to listen to teams and some trade offers. Can you see that happening, and would that benefit the Steelers if they were to make a trade, and we know that he's going to be wanting a lot of money? Would that be beneficial for the Steelers?
Yeah, so $25 million a year, Doran, that's a high price tag. But if you could secure him for a long-term deal, and let's say you only have to give up a second-round pick for that, and you feel really strongly that he's a good character guy and that he's going to come in here and be a guy who can, you know, be on your team for 3 or 4 seasons, I would be okay with that. I wouldn't do it for the number 20 overall pick. I know that was the 49ers' ask at the beginning of this process, but lots of things change. Ayuk wants out of San Francisco, and it seems like he has the leverage now. So we'll see what the price is, but I don't mind paying top dollar for a receiver if you really think he's that guy, but you better utilize him as that guy if you get him too.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us in the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. If they did hypothetically trade for Brandon Ayuk, what would that say about the future of George Pickens then, Ray? Like, I can't imagine the Steelers would want to pay two receivers $50 million combined.
Right. Yeah, so George would just be another in the long line of receivers who, you know, the Steelers pick and they move on from. If you look at their history, how successful they've been drafting receivers, guys, how many other than Antonio Brown and Hines Ward got second contracts? You know, Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, they were, you know, one and done, four really good years from both of those guys. They had to move on. And that's really been the case with all their guys. Martavis Bryant, you know, I can go down the list. You know, they got a little bit more out of Deontay. I think Deontay was here for 5 years. So, you know, they got that one extra year out of him. But that's kind of how it is with receivers. If you look even around the league, even the receivers that are drafted in the first round, and I know NFL economics has a lot to do with this, but that's one of the lowest rates where those positions sign second contracts. So those guys usually
going back to 2000 to the year 2000, Ray, we just saw this morning from Adam Schefter. He tweeted it out. Only 27% of wide receivers going back to the year 2000 have signed a second deal with the team that drafts them.
Yeah. And listen, Devontae Smith just signed a second deal with the Eagles. So it does happen, but a lot of those guys are busts, and a lot of those guys, you just use them for 4 years, and then you move on to the next one because there's so many good ones coming out of college.
Ray, let's play a little hypothetical game here, you know, for tomorrow and what could possibly happen tomorrow night. You got Graham Barton, you have Amarius Mims, you got Fatanu, you have Zach Frazier, JPJ, Brian Thomas. Who falls the farthest in the draft tomorrow night?
Oh, I would say JPJ. I think if you look at Barton and JPJ over the last month or so, Barton's really been moving up and JPJ has been moving down. Now, that doesn't mean that JPJ is going to slide out of the first round, although he could, but it seems, you know, it seems like he's kind of lost a little bit of momentum here in this draft process. It's a really good fundamental player. He's big, he's strong. He's just not that elite athlete. And I think if you're going to draft a center in the first round, you know, it's got to be that guy who gets up to the second level, that guy who can get out and make some plays for you in the running game. And JPJ's a really good player, but I don't know if he fits that athletic bill.
Right. We talked about that hypothetical from Tony Pauline where the Steelers would move up to 12, give up the 20th and 51st overall pick to do so, to take that corner out of Toledo. We don't think, me and Doran, that would make any sense to get that particular player. If the Steelers were to trade up like that, is there a player that would make sense to do that for?
Yeah, Fatanu, Fuaga. You know, I know there's a little bit of concern about Fatanu with that reported knee injury that he was flagged for. But, you know, I go back, Andy took that offensive lineman for the Eagles early in the second round, Landon Dickerson. A couple years back, and you know, there were all kinds of red flags about Dickerson, and he signed a second contract too. So if your medical people sign off on it, I'm okay with it. But yeah, if there's a trade up, I think it's going to be for one of those tackles, probably Fuaga or Fatanu.
What happened to Tyler Boyd? Like, if the Steelers don't get a receiver in the draft, may they pay him?
Yeah, but again, going back throughout this process, I don't think they want to pay a number three receiver a whole lot of money. So, you know, if Tyler if his price comes down, then yeah, sure. But if Tyler wants to hold out for the most money, maybe he gets a little bit more leverage in the summer, guys, if there are injuries. But right now, I think everyone's kind of wait-and-see mode. Let's see where these receivers go in the draft. Then I think these GMs will, you know, sign guys like Boyd and guys of his ilk after the draft.
Ray, we appreciate your time. We know it's going to be a busy weekend, so we do thank you for it, buddy. Take care.
All right, guys. Enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Thanks, you Ron.
Too. Yeah. See you later, Paul. Mike Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.